Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 185. Thank you. Psalm 185 in your psalm books will sing My Savior's Love. And if you would stand, we'll sing Psalm 185.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Love for me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you, God, for this beautiful day you've given us to meet in your house and to hear your word preached. I want to thank you, God, just for the safe travels of Pastor Stuckey and his family. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless him, fill him with your power and spirit as he brings the message to us this morning. We love you, for it's in Jesus' name we ask everything. Amen. All right, you may be seated and take your Mountain Baptist songbooks. They're going to be the blue folders in your seats. Mountain Baptist song, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songbooks, and turn to song number one. Song number one in your blue folders, we'll sing Psalm 11. Song number one.
In the Lord put I my trust, how say ye to my soul? Flee as a burning mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and horror. troubled tempest. This shall be the portion of their calm, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold, doth behold the upright. In the Lord put I my trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to Mountain Baptist Church on this Sunday morning. And so we have a special Sunday because we have a guest preacher here this morning, Pastor Matthew Stuckey. So still getting used to calling him pastor, but he's a good friend of mine and excited to have him in and his family and everything, and excited about the work that he's doing out in the Philippines. And so he's been doing, how long have you been out there?
Coming up on 5 years.
5 years. Wow. That's crazy. So 5 years, doing great work out there in the Philippines. And obviously, he can tell you more about that if he wants to. But he's going to be preaching both services today. So he'll be preaching this morning and then also this afternoon. We will have our soul winning time at 1 p.m. this afternoon. And so if you want to go out soul winning, gives you a little bit of time to go get some lunch, come back here. And also we have soul winning times during the week as far as the regional soul winning times. The Monday one, we're not going to have the Monday night one, but as far as the other ones there, just be on the church group there if you want to go out, and the men that lead those up will tell you the times and locations on those, and also there's a soul winning marathon coming up this coming weekend. So Brother Wade, I know, is leading up a soul winning marathon in Martinsburg, and Brother Gavin out there as well, and so just be in prayer for that, or if you can go out to that. That'd be great. And so, but yeah, I'm excited for Pastor Stuckey to preach for us. We've known each other since 2003, right? So 2003, we got saved around the same time. I got saved just a little earlier than him, but then he got saved as soon as, like, our freshman year in college. And so known him for a long time. We've kind of been on this Christian journey together, you know, from the very beginning as far as soul winning and all that stuff. I have the utmost confidence in Pastor Stuckey when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to just being a good Christian and all that. And so, you know, as far as him coming up in here and preaching, I have the utmost confidence in his sermons and everything. So excited about that. We're going to be constantly praying for you and your family out there in the Philippines. And so, just excited there. When it comes to on the back of the bulletin there, we also have our chapter memory for the month. So we're coming into this the first day of October, and so we're in a new chapter. So Psalm 110. It's not a really super long psalm, but it's got actually a couple references or prophecies in there about the Lord Jesus dealing with being the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but also that it says that that the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So it's a good psalm to have memorized. And then Proverbs 18:24 is our memory verse for the week. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So that is our memory verse for the week. And then birthdays, I didn't get a chance to, Teresa is tomorrow. So we'll sing happy birthday to her. I always got to pull up, like, the calendar because I can't do math in my head. I is an engineer, but the simple math of, like, weeks, I just feel like I'm always going to miss it. So we have Hannah Ford, right, that's coming up on Tuesday, and then Catherine, and then we have Brother Anthony. Where are you at? There you are. Oh, yeah? When's your birthday?
The 4th.
Okay. And we have Ruth on here, too, so we'll have to get her next time. So a lot of October babies. It's like September and October. A lot in there. So yeah, we'll sing happy birthday to all these. How old are you, brother Anthony? 37? Still young. Could be worse. You could be 39 like this guy up here, you know. I don't turn 39 until next year. It's January, but it's next year. When's your birthday? Well, we got something to get on here. So Brother Gavin, are you 20? 20. No longer a teenager. Now you're ready to go to war, you know, according to the Bible and all that. Congratulations. No. So, yeah, we have a lot to sing happy birthday to. So Brother Dave, remember all those. The two that are not on the list and everyone else that's here. And then anniversaries, my parents, but that'll be not yet until the end of the month here. And then the pregnancy list, be in prayer for all the ladies on the pregnancy list, Jennifer, Alyssa, Anastasia, and Tabby. Be in prayer for Amanda, Spina, as far as recovery there, but also for Tiara Alesco, as they just had babies not too long ago. And so be in prayer for them. The offering box is in the back there, mother baby rooms for mothers and babies only. I do want to make an announcement. The coffee counter, Tabby broke it. Where's she at? She's hiding. She's not even here. Actually, it's been struggling for a while. And so that drawer is messed up, so don't even mess with that. But we're going to get that fixed and everything. But I do want to make an announcement dealing with food and everything in general. When it comes to the closet, I don't want anyone in there except for those that are adults, like basically personnel that would be pulling stuff out to go do stuff. If you need something out of there, ask one of us, and we'll go get it for you, or we'll help you out with that. But just too much rummaging through all that stuff. And there's stuff in there that's not food. There's stuff that's in there that we just don't want to get misplaced, all that stuff. Also, if you take food outside, you need to clean up after yourself. The past two Sundays, there's been a bunch of trash just left all over. I mean, in the bushes and all kinds of stuff, okay? So if you take food outside, you have to clean it up, or we're just not going to allow it. And we're not going to allow it in the church building. We're not going to allow it out there. And we're just going to have to nip it in the bud. I don't want to do that. But those that end up cleaning it up are not the ones that did it. And so I know that there's a lot of kids that bring stuff out there. And parents, you really need to watch where your kids are taking your food or taking their food so that you know that it's your kids. Or whatever. And I'm not saying that my kids are innocent in this when it comes to that, but we need to be watching that. And so it is what it is. And it's just one of those things that's a privilege that you have, that we provide a lot of food and that we have a lot of that stuff that's here. But if everything's going to get trashed, then we're going to just cut that all off. And so I'm a little frustrated with it because those that are cleaning it up didn't do it, and they're always the ones that clean it up. And so I'm not going to embarrass them because they're the ones that are cleaning up a lot of stuff anyway, but it's just been happening a lot recently. So we just need to watch that with our kids and everything, especially outside, inside as well, but outside where it's like a scavenger hunt to find all the trash. And I know that sounds fun, but for the kids, they're like, that's cool, that's fun. It's not. Okay, but anyway, so all that to say is that just be cognizant of that, be aware of that. If you take stuff outside, make sure you bring it and throw it in the trash or whatever, and then we won't have to worry about it. I think that's about all I have for announcements. Again, we're going to have the soul winning time, and we're probably going to have a lot of soul winners, so probably what we're going to need to do is we're going to have to split it up. To where maybe I take a group and then Brother Dave takes a group, and then we try to split off from there. We'll see, though, because it's getting a little harder when we have that many to try to organize them all. But we'll see how that. We'll see who all is going soul winning. It's a good problem to have, but we just want to make sure that we're everybody knows where they're going, and we're not all getting confused and all that stuff. So excited for that. Should be a good day. We're planning on going into some like college areas and stuff like that up in Morgantown. And so, if you can be there and go out soul winning with us, that'd be great. So, besides that, I think that's about all I have for announcements. Who's reading this morning? Brother Anthony. So Brother Anthony's going to be reading, is it Exodus chapter 10? Yeah, Exodus chapter 10. And then Brother Dave's going to sing one more song. And after the scripture reading and everything, he is brother. You are still my brother in Christ. Pastor Matthew Stuckey's going to come up and preach for us after the scripture reading.
All right, take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 183. Psalm 183 in your psalm books will sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But before we do that, we need to sing happy birthday to a whole slew of people. So we have Teresa. She's going to be 2. Awesome. Hannah. 4. Awesome. Catherine, you don't have to say your age if you don't want. 21, yeah. 5th year in a row. 10th year in a row. 11th. That's so funny. All right, awesome. Awesome. Anthony, you already said 37. Yeah, I still remember, even though I'm so old. Brother Nate, 21. Brother Gavin, 20. Did I miss anybody? All y'all stand up. There you go. There you go. Yeah, Gavin, you didn't have a choice, brother. Okay. All right. Hannah, you want to stand up? No? Okay. All right, we'll sing happy birthday. Ready? Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Well, happy birthday to all y'all. And we will sing song 183. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, a sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus.
because he first loved me.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 10. Exodus chapter number 10 in your Bibles. And we'll have Brother Anthony read that for us.
Exodus chapter 10. The Bible reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coasts, and they shall cover the face of the earth, and that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day, since they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all the day, and all that night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty wind, strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be an hoof left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning where we can gather and hear your word preached. I pray, Lord, you'd be with Pastor Stuckey this morning. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Help us all to learn this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, there we go. All right, well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. And as your pastor mentioned the announcements, we've known each other for a very long time. He's actually the only person I know in this room before I was actually saved. And so over half our life ago now at this point. And so I'd say the reason why we became such close friends was simply because of the same faith. As he mentioned, he got saved shortly before me, and then I got saved shortly after. And who knows whether or not we would have become good friends, but we went to church together, we went soul winning together, we learned the Word of God together. And he's definitely one of my closest friends in the entire world. And honestly, it's always an honor to preach the Word of God, but even more specifically here, because I'm from West Virginia. I'm a West Virginian for most of my life, and even above that, a lot of people in this room, I mean, I could mention every single person that I know in this room. I know a lot of people very well, people that I really care about, and, you know, this church means a lot to me, even though I'm no longer here. I grew up in Bridgeport, West Virginia, which is only about 15 minutes down the road. It's not too far from here, and so it's an honor to be here. It's a pleasure. I look forward to talking to many of you after the service, and I know there are some people that are here visiting. Today's sermon is a very specific sermon about West Virginia and also this church. The first sermon today is going to be very mean, very harsh, develop some thick skin. The second sermon is going to be more nice, okay? But anytime the Word of God is preached, you can learn from it and be edified. So let's just start here at verse number 1. Exodus 10 verse 1, the Bible reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son, of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the hail." At this point, the locusts, they are number 8 on the list of the 10 plagues of Egypt. And the first plague you have is the water turned to blood. I don't even know how a society functions if all of your water supply is turned to blood. That alone is going to destroy a culture. Then you have the frogs, the lice, the flies, the death of the livestock, and then you had the hail was number 7, and then the locusts are going to be number 8. Now, I want you to understand something when it comes to these 10 plagues of Egypt. Every single one of these plagues was an attack on one of the false gods of ancient Egypt. Now, Egypt was similar in some ways to India, where India worships a multiplicity of gods. And I've actually read a large portion of the so-called holy book of ancient Egypt, which is known as the Book of the Dead. And the entire book is just sorcery, just casting spells to different gods to help you in the afterlife. They worshiped a multiplicity of gods. Now, the last plague that's going to come is the 10th plague, which is the death of the firstborn. In ancient Egypt, the number one god that was really worshipped was who? Pharaoh. And so with the death of the firstborn, what it's basically doing is killing the next god of Egypt. Now, I mention that to you because the statement you're going to see from the servants of Pharaoh are very strong. This was not a culture where you rebuke the Pharaoh. It's not a culture where you rebuke the leader. I don't think in any culture you should be rebuking the leaders, but even more so there where they worshipped Pharaoh as a god. Notice what it says here in verse 6. "And they shall fill thy houses and the houses of all thy servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? How long shall he be a trap unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God." And they make this statement, "Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" What they're basically saying to Pharaoh is, at what point are you going to realize our culture is destroyed? It's like, I figured it out with the frogs. He figured it out with the lice. She figured it out when all the cows were dropping dead. At what point, Pharaoh, are you going to figure out, we're done, we're not going to win, our gods are not superior? At what point are you going to realize that Egypt is destroyed? You know, that sort of question you'd like to ask people in the United States in 2023. Knowest thou not yet that America is destroyed? And look, this is not a personal attack on the United States or West Virginia, because I preached this same sermon a month ago about the Philippines. And I went through all of the sins of the Philippines. But it's a question I'd like to ask people in the United States. Knowest thou not yet that America is destroyed? I mean, literally, the stuff you see in the news, I mean, it shocks me every single week, and yet it doesn't shock me at all. Just the madness that's taking place. Every week, I Skype with my parents, and they tell me all the things happening in the U.S., and I'm just like, I don't even know what to say. It was like a couple months ago, like all the transsexuals were ripping off their clothes on the lawn of the White House, and it was sponsored by our president, Joe Biden, and it's like, doesn't even surprise me in 2023. And you know, one thing that is good about this world becoming wicked is some people are starting to realize. They didn't realize it at the first plague or the second or the third, but around the fifth or the sixth, they figured it out. I remember a lot of people used to think I was very extreme on the LGBT, and yet I talked to them today and they agree with me. It's like at some point, they figured it out. Now here in West Virginia, it's easy to look at states like California and say, man, California is a mess. Look at all the homos that are everywhere. Look at the homeless epidemic that is everywhere. And trust me, it's there. Walking outside of Verity Baptist Church, there's homeless people all over the place. I mean, the LGBT is obviously everywhere in California. And it's very easy to get prideful when you live in a place like this and say, look at the mess of California. Or look at D.C. where over half of pregnancies end in abortion, and you're like, what a mess, what a disaster. But my sermon is, knowest thou not yet that West Virginia is destroyed? This is going to be a very, very specific sermon to West Virginia. And look, don't develop this prideful attitude. How dare an outsider come in and attack you? I've lived most of my life in West Virginia. I know what it's like being a West Virginian. My favorite state is West Virginia. I love West Virginia. I've driven here the last, you know, week. I've actually driven down to Morgantown several times to help out on driving family to medical appointments. And I have a lot of memories that come back from West Virginia. I remember doors I've knocked, streets we've knocked, churches we went to, areas I visited my friends. I love West Virginia. And I'm not saying West Virginia is a bad state, but don't develop this prideful attitude that California is a mess, but we here are almost heaven. This is not almost heaven. Your home is not West Virginia. It's not the U.S. It's not the Philippines. It's not wherever you want to think. Your home is up in heaven if you're saved. I just started reading Joshua this morning. And you know what? During the days of Joshua, I'd say God's people were closer to God than at any point throughout the entire Bible. And at that specific time, you really did want to live in one location because God's people were centralized in one location. Now, the modern day application is not a specific nation. It's not a specific city. It's, do you have a local church? And if you have a local church and you're able to serve God, you should feel blessed and happy. So look, if you live here and you're in West Virginia, God has put you here for a reason, but don't have this attitude. How dare you say anything against West Virginia? Shouldn't preaching be specific about the area you live in? And look, if I was preaching in California and I was preaching against the LGBT, if you're not a homo, I'm not talking about you. And so as I go through these points here about West Virginia, look, if you're innocent of them, I'm not preaching about you. I'm preaching about the culture that exists in West Virginia. Now turn in your Bible to Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. I'm going to give you three major points here today. And point number one, one of the major issues of West Virginia is wasting time. Wasting time. This is a very lazy state. Now, once again, if you're a hard worker, I'm not talking about you. But this is a lazy state, and I'm going to prove it to you with three different statistics here. In 2017, Every year they take a poll to find out how much is the average amount of television watched per person per state. In 2017, West Virginia finished first place. 4 hours, 30 minutes, and 54 seconds. 4.5 hours. Second place, Delaware, 3 hours, 47 minutes, and 9 seconds. West Virginia won by over 40 minutes. That's not something you want to win at. That's not something to be proud about. The average person in West Virginia in 2017 watched television for more than 40 minutes, more than the average person in Delaware, which was number two. This is not something where number one's 4.5 and number 50 is 4 hours, 27 minutes. No, there's actually quite a bit of diversity, and West Virginia easily won. You say, well, that's an anomaly. Well, let's go to 2021 to more recent statistics. West Virginia, first place, 3 hours, 57 minutes, and 50 seconds. Second place, Alabama, 3 hours, 38 minutes, 46 seconds. By almost 20 minutes, West Virginia won. And if you look at the statistics for every year, West Virginia doesn't always win, but they're always in the top two. And look, if you're watching TV for 4.5 hours, you know what that means? You're lazy. You're wasting time. Isn't it true we knock these doors and then people are sitting around doing nothing? Hey, do you have 5 minutes? Oh, I'm so busy. Busy doing what? 4.5 hours. And this lazy culture exists in West Virginia. And look, you become like the people around you. It's very easy to adopt the culture because it's what everybody else is doing. Bible says here in Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. By the way, the Bible is very specific when it says her ways, her food, because the worker ants are actually female. And so the Bible knew long before science figured this out. But the Bible says, go to the ant. You say, why? Has anybody ever seen an ant just sitting around doing nothing? I mean, every time you see an ant, they're just always moving around. It's like they've had one too many energy drinks every morning or something. They're always moving around. And the Bible says, hey, when you're lazy, you know what? I actually created the ants so you could look at them and realize, hey, you know what? I got to change my life. Look, when you're sitting around doing nothing on your back porch, and then you see the ants moving around, just get up and do something. That's what the Bible's saying. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You're going to have the desire of an armed man. An armed man is someone who has a weapon, someone who's willing to rob to get something because you have nothing. Why? Because you're sitting around doing nothing. Look, I grew up with people that were very intelligent people that are losers today. You say, why? Because they're lazy. They sat around doing nothing. They became drug addicts in West Virginia. You say, why? Because they couldn't figure out how to work. They couldn't figure out how to do something. Turn your Bible to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now look, you can agree with me or disagree. In my opinion, the biggest problem with the television is not actually the content. In my opinion, the biggest problem is just how much time people spend watching it. 4.5 hours. How about an hour of Bible reading? You still got 3.5 hours left. 30 minutes of prayer and memorization, you still got 3 hours left. You can work out for an hour, you got 2 hours left, and spend 2 hours with your family. But no, in West Virginia, what do? Just sit around watching TV for hours upon hours upon hours. And look, you know that's true from knocking doors in West Virginia. A lot of people are sitting around with absolutely nothing to do. Their house is a mess, and they don't fix it. They just sit around and watch TV for hours and hours and hours. Now look, I'm not saying that this problem does not exist in other states also, but when you're number one by quite a bit in those polls, I mean, it's obviously a major problem here, specifically to West Virginia. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The Bible says the days are evil, and if you cross-reference in the Word of God, the evil days come upon you. In Ecclesiastes 12, speaks about the aging process. Now, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with turning 39, because I'm turning 39 in less than 2 weeks. You know, I don't appreciate those jokes insulting, right, Brother Dave? Right? But it's like, time flies by. It's shocking to me. It's like literally over half of my life, I've known your pastor. I'm like, where did the time go? And then, of course, here's the thing you don't understand when you're young. Time speeds up as you get older. You say, Brother Stucky, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't, but it's true. It speeds up. You young kids, hey, redeem the time now. Look, if you're old enough to read, start reading the Word of God now. Start memorizing the Bible now. You say, why? There's going to come a day when you're married with a lot of kids and you don't have the time or the ability to do it as much anymore. Take advantage of the free time now while you have it. Look, I wish I read the Bible more when I was younger. I wish I took my life more seriously when I was young growing up. And of course, there's nothing wrong with kids running and playing and having fun. But look, life's not just a game. Life is serious, and it will fly before your eyes before you realize it. You've only got one life to live. Take advantage of it. Go to Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I mean, you know what people are doing in West Virginia right now? They're getting ready to watch the NFL all day long. Saturday's about WVU, and then Sunday's about the NFL. It's like, man, you wonder why your wife's so mad at you when you sit around watching football for 8 hours a day on the weekends. You come home from work, and what do? You sit around watching TV, drinking a beer and sitting around watching TV. I wonder why your wife's mad at you. I wonder why you're on the brink of a divorce. I can't figure it out. It boggles my mind. People sit around and do nothing, and yet they're so busy. Right? And in the Philippines, when I go soul winning, I'll ask people, you know, do you have just a few minutes, just 5 minutes? And I'll see people playing, what is it, Mobile Legends, at least in the Philippines, I think that's the name of the game. And then it's like, man, I'm so busy. It's like, busy? Right? You're trying to, you know, increase your thumb muscles or something? I mean, for thumb wars? I mean, what are you doing? They're so busy, they can't take 5 minutes to listen to the Word of God being preached. The Bible says in Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Don't waste your time. Take it seriously. Your life is going to fly before your eyes. I mean, it's amazing to me how fast life really moves. And look, I don't look at it as a depressing thing because I enjoy the stage of life I'm at now, and I enjoy my future years going forward. But at any stage of life you're in, take it seriously. Don't waste your time. You're going to look back and say, what did I do with my life? Go in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You say, Brother Stucky, that's just one statistic on television. But in other areas, West Virginians are very hard workers. Really? Well, let me give you recent statistics from August 2022 on the highest percentage of people on welfare per state. Highest percentage of people on welfare. Number one, New Mexico, 21.3%. 21.3%? More than one out of five people? I wonder why America's losing all of their money and getting poorer as a country. Maybe because everyone who's working is taking care of everyone who's lazy. 21.3%. Second, Louisiana, 17.3%. Third, West Virginia, 17.1%. More than one out of six people in this state is on welfare. And fourth place was Mississippi, 14.9%. So you see a big drop off there, 2.2% when you get down to fourth. 17.1% of people are on welfare. Look, I understand there are certain people that have disabilities, and in the Bible there are people that are incapable of working, but that is not the majority of people on welfare. Most people are fully capable of working, but they choose not to. And oftentimes, when they're not capable, it's because of their own choices in life that destroyed their health. Well, how dare you say that? Well, look, if you're a hard worker, you're not offended by that. If you're a hard worker, you're sick of paying for those people to sit around doing nothing. And literally, they sit around doing nothing all the time. And this culture is a major epidemic in West Virginia. Now, look, there's plenty of good things about West Virginia. I mean, West Virginia has one of the lowest abortion rates in the United States. And praise God for that. I'm not saying everything about this state is bad. But there is certainly a culture of wasting time and being lazy in West Virginia. What does the Bible say about this? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Bible speaks about withdrawing from the brother that's walking disorderly, the person who's very lazy. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. What's Paul saying? That they should starve to death? People that are unwilling to work, it would be best for them to just starve to death. You say, why? Because they'll figure out how to work when they're at the brink of dying. Right. Oh, how dare you say that? Well, that's Paul the Apostle. That's what he said. Neither should he eat. If you're unwilling to work, then you shouldn't eat. Now, here's the thing. I understand there's a natural compassion a normal person has inside of them. And look, in West Virginia, we don't have a major culture of homeless people because it's just simply too cold for large parts of the year. I read an article online where it said Hawaii's really struggling with the homeless because people buy a one-way ticket to be homeless the rest of their life in Hawaii. That's what's going on in the world. But when I was a freshman in college, and I never saw this growing up, I remember somebody asked me for money, and I was at the campus at WVU, and I felt bad for the person. I was like, man, I have so much more than this person. And I naturally assume that if somebody's asking for money, they actually need it. Because to the normal person, you know, to beg, I am ashamed, right? I don't want to ask people for money. You want to kind of figure it out your own way, right? And this person asked me for money. I gave him $20 from my wallet. I had compassion. I felt bad for him. I gave him $20. I saw that same person about an hour and a half later after my class, bottle of booze inside his hand. That's my experience. Well, that's only one example. Well, there's another case of WVU where someone was asking for food, and I learned my lesson not to give them money to help keep the problem going on. I walked back to my apartment 10 minutes away. I got a bunch of just small little things of food. I brought it down to that person. And then the next day, the food was still there. They didn't want food. You said, what did they want? They wanted drugs. They wanted alcohol. They wanted cigarettes. They didn't need food. You say, why? Because everybody offers food to homeless people. They're not at the point of struggling for food. But what they really want usually is drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and things like that. And here's the thing. If you give them money, you're actually keeping the problem going. Now, I understand there are people that are really struggling, but see, this is why you have a local church that helps people out. It's like, why don't you ask your church for money? It's like, well, I don't go to church. Well, that's problem number one. Start going to church, and then you'll have people that know you, and they know whether or not your situation's real or not. And it says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And what I found from 5 years in the ministry is the people that walk disorderly at a church are those that do not work. That's what we found in Sacramento at Verity Baptist. That's what we found in the Philippines. The people that I've kicked out of the church in the Philippines, they're people that refuse to work. People that borrowed thousands of dollars from other members at church. And keep in mind, thousands of dollars in the Philippines is a whole lot of money. Borrowed. Oh, I was fully planning to pay it back. Well, yeah, until I preached that sermon, I don't think it happened. The people that refuse to work are the people that are problems. And this is what the Bible's saying. Those that are lazy are disorderly. Why? Because if you have too much free time, you get into trouble. And look, I know that to be true with myself. If I don't have things to do and activities planned and you're just sitting around, what ends up happening? You end up wasting time. You get to the end of the day, I didn't have time to read my Bible. It's like you didn't have anything to do that day, but you end up wasting your time. Think of David in the Bible. Why did he commit adultery? What was the root cause at the time kings go forth to battle? Couldn't sleep at night. Why couldn't he sleep? Well, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, but if you're not laboring, if you're not working, oh, I can't sleep, right? Turn your Bible, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me give you a list of the poorest states in the United States. 19.58% of people in Mississippi are classified as poor. That's number one. Louisiana, number two. New Mexico, number three. West Virginia, number four. And those are the top four. They were also top four in welfare as well. And it's like, well, if you start working, you wouldn't be so poor. I mean, do something. Oh, I can't find a job. It's so hard in 2023. Are you kidding me? It's like companies are begging for people to work in 2023. Don't tell me you can't find a job in 2023. There's plenty of work out there if you're willing. You know, what's interesting too is the Bible speaks about preaching the gospel to the poor. And you would think that a state like West Virginia would be incredibly receptive to the gospel because it's always been one of the poorest states. But is this the most receptive state to the gospel for those that have gone soul winning in different states? No, it's not. You say, why? There's a difference between being poor and being lazy. You know what? I thought when I started going soul winning in the Philippines, you go to areas that are squatters areas where basically the people that live in those houses are gone and people just move into them. And you'd think people are sitting around, they have nothing to do. A lot of people get saved, but nope. It's like you have nothing in life going for you, but then you don't want to listen to the gospel. You know, just several months ago, I went soul winning. It's called the Bajau community, which you probably aren't familiar with that term. But it's a group of people that are basically like vagabonds in different countries in Asia. And literally, they set up a tent on the side of a hill. They have no bathroom, no floor. They literally use the bathroom where they're walking. I mean, it's the poorest area I've ever seen in my life by far. It is the least receptive area I've ever been to. I mean, I think Sodom and Gomorrah would have been more receptive. And literally, we go to the first door there. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and everybody's sleeping. Every single person. And then they wake up. There's like 8 people living there in a small little tent. And then we ask them. They said, okay, yeah, you can tell us. And the first question, you know, once we get into it, you know, have you ever sinned before? Nope. None of those 8 people have ever sinned. It's like, look, I try not to judge the outward appearance, but when all of you are asleep in the middle of the afternoon, I'm pretty sure laziness is a sin. I'm pretty sure wasting time is a sin. But they said, oh, I've never sinned before. I mean, it was by far the poorest area I've ever been to. There were so many flies and bugs. I got sick for weeks after that. And it's like, but they were unreceptive to the gospel. And look, West Virginia is not the most receptive state to the gospel. It isn't. There's other states you're going to get more people saved when you zealously soul win. You say, why? Because it is a lazy state. A lot of people are sitting around with nothing to do. Point number one, wasting time. Point number two, one of the major sins of West Virginia are vices. Vices are a major sin and problem in West Virginia. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, the liberals are obnoxious when they make statements like, my body, my choice. And of course, it's stupid because it's not their body that they're killing. But here's the thing, your body, you don't have a right to do whatever you want with it because it belongs to God. Even if that were your body, it's like, I'm sorry, that body belongs to God. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't have a right just to trash your body in any way you want because your body belongs to God. But in West Virginia, vices have always been a major problem. Smoking statistics in 2022. First place, West Virginia, 23.8%. And if you grew up in West Virginia, that's not a shock to you because I'm pretty sure they were number one when I was a kid, right? Smoking has always been a major thing. I mean, you knock on these doors, cigarettes all over the place. Is that not true? Smoking is a major problem, West Virginia. First place, West Virginia, 23.8%. And then our cousins to the south, Kentucky, number two, 23.6%. And look, I get the fact this is north central West Virginia. I get the fact maybe there's other parts that struggle with this more, but you can't tell me that this is not a problem here in Fairmont or in the surrounding areas. First place, West Virginia. And by the way, it was a whole 3% above fourth place, Ohio. Just so the people from Ohio don't get arrogant during the sermon, it's like you made the top four also. How about drinking? I mean, what's the big mantra from West Virginia University? Cheers, beers, and Mountaineers. Explain to me what living in the mountains has to do with drinking beer. I don't understand it. I don't get the correlation. Look, I personally love driving through the mountains. I mean, this is arguably the most beautiful state in the United States, and I believe that. What does drinking beer have to do with the mountains? And you've got beautiful mountains, and then you throw alcohol everywhere. I mean, is that a beautiful sight? Cheers, beers, and Mountaineers. And look, when we were in college, I hated going downtown because you go downtown on High Street at night times, it's like there's literally human vomit everywhere. It's horrible. I had a classmate in college. He got murdered because he got drunk. Him and this guy got in a fight. Somebody threw a snowball, and he got stabbed. And what was the cause of that? They were both drunk out of their minds? I mean, alcohol is a major, major problem. This is a major vice that is an issue here in West Virginia. Cheers, beers, and Mountaineers. Barstool Sports each year gives a poll for the top party and drinking schools. And almost every year, guess what's number one? West Virginia University, my alma mater. Well, how dare you preach against WVU? I graduated from WVU also. I got saved at WVU, so my time wasn't so bad at college. But here's the thing. It is a major issue. I mean, I always wondered when I was at WVU, why don't people just play sports on the weekends, do something fun? I mean, but people are just getting trashed out of their minds at WVU. That's what they do. Smoking, drinking. What does the Bible say about drinking? Go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Anyway, what's sickening is people from WVU, they take pride in the fact they drink more than anybody else. Right? I mean, it's known as like cheers, beers, and Mountaineers. It's like, look, I'm not proud of the fact my alma mater is number one on drinking every year. That doesn't make me happy. It's like, hey, what's West Virginia known for? Hey, getting drunk and burning couches. Wow, that's great. You really think that, I mean, because I graduated from WVU. You think I like that? You think I'm proud of the fact that my alma mater is just a mess? Getting drunk and burning couches and acting like an idiot? And look, many people in this room have graduated from WVU. That is the culture at WVU. There's no question about it. Just drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. It's like, why don't you do something with your life rather than destroying your health? Proverbs 31, verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Here this mom is telling her son, you're too good to drink. Let the people that are losers drink. Let the homeless bums drink away their sorrows. That's what the Bible's saying here in Proverbs 31. Look, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Look, people that are drunks, they're ready to perish. They're ready to die. Yeah, let them drink away their life. Let them destroy their life. Wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Doesn't the Bible say that drinking alcohol makes you depressed? It fills you full of sorrow? I'm not depressed. I enjoy my life. Life's good. I'm happy. I would tell people, I don't need to drink because, you know, I enjoy my life. Why would I want to forget what happens throughout the night? My life's not bad. Why would I want to just drink away my memories? You're drinking a poison into your body. But that's what people do. I mean, look, I don't have statistics in front of me on how many people have died from, drunken driving, but I knew people from Bridgeport that died from drunken driving. They crashed and died on the highway. I mean, there's flowers on the side of the road. I remember, I don't know if they're there now, for when they crashed and died on the side of the highway because they were drunk. It's like, what are you doing with your life? And here's what I would say. As a saved person, as a child of God, as kings and priests unto God, you're too good to drink. Let the losers drink. Let them destroy their lives. You're too good to drink. I mean, people, it's amazing to me. I see people that are my age from where I grew up, and some people, they look like they're old enough to be my fathers because they've destroyed their health. I mean, I'm being serious about this. I'm like, man, they've really aged. They're still in their 30s, which is still young. Even if they're 38 or 39, right? But they look so, it's like, what have you done to your bodies? But when you drink and do drugs and smoke, I mean, there's side effects. Turn to your Bible to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I always knew, growing up in West Virginia, that smoking was a major problem. I mean, you know all the jokes about West Virginia if you've traveled outside West Virginia. People here, if you're from West Virginia, all kinds of jokes come up. And by the way, perceptions exist for a reason. They do. I know about the drinking at WVU. I visited a few other colleges before I chose to go to WVU because I thought about playing soccer at different colleges. And that drinking culture is there as well at West Virginia Wesleyan, even more so at Alderson Broaddus, but I guess they're not around anymore, so. But it existed at AB College before they closed down recently. And so it's part of West Virginia. Just drink. I mean, you live in the most beautiful state in the United States. Go out camping. Do something. And then you just choose to get drunk when you're in the middle of God's creation. It's like, what is wrong with people? I don't get it. But, you know, one thing I did not know was a major problem in West Virginia is the drug epidemic in West Virginia. I just found out about this a couple years ago. It shocked me. Statistics in 2021 of overdose deaths from drugs in West Virginia, first place, West Virginia, 90.9 out of 100,000. So one out of 1,000 people, roughly, overdoses and dies on drugs. And you know, it makes sense to me because I know people that have OD'd on drugs from West Virginia. Second place, so first place, West Virginia, 90.9. Second place, Tennessee, 50.6. Nearly double. Second place. Nearly double the amount of overdose deaths from drugs in West Virginia than any other state. This is not something to be proud about. Look, I love West Virginia. Don't take this as an attack. Like, how dare you say that? I grew up in West Virginia. And because I love West Virginia, I'm preaching the truth about West Virginia. Because what I would love to see is that as a result of this church, that this would change over the course of 20 years. But these are major problems in West Virginia. First place, I would have guessed it would be New York City and San Francisco, LA, Chicago, Baltimore. West Virginia? There's no big cities in West Virginia. But this drug epidemic is all over West Virginia. Here's from an article I read online in 2016. It says, Huntington, West Virginia, America's drug death capital. Since then, West Virginia has become the face of the opioid epidemic, with an overdose death rate 10 times the national average. 10 times the national average. See, it's hard for us to realize this because we're normal people that go to work, we go home at night, and we eat dinner with our families. We don't really realize this. But it actually exists in West Virginia as a major, major problem. And it says, the narrative being shared about the Mountain State has been bleak. But 1 year after the CNN headline, a West Virginia filmmaker chose to tell a different kind of story about the opioid crisis, one of resilience and hope. Elaine McMillan Sheldon directed and co-produced the Academy Award-nominated documentary, Heroin, a film focused on three women fiercely dedicated to fighting the opioid crisis in their home community. I actually came across this because her husband was actually a good friend of mine growing up. He grew up in Bridgeport. He played soccer. Kern Sheldon. And I remember just seeing that he was a filmmaker, and then I looked and he had made films on drugs, him and his wife. And I was like, West Virginia's the number one state in the United States for drugs? I mean, it's shocking to me because there's no big cities. But it is number one, and it's not even close. 90.9, 50.6. That is an 80% increase from number two, Tennessee. What are the side effects of the vices in West Virginia? There's a lot of side effects. In 2021, West Virginia finished first place of the highest cancer mortality by state at 184.7 out of 100,000. Now look, there's many reasons why people get cancer, and I'm not saying it's someone's fault. I know people that have gotten cancer that live very clean lives, but the lifestyle choices you make have side effects. And first place is West Virginia. I get it. As I'm preaching through these side effects, I might end up struggling with some of these things. I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but I'm just saying, number one, West Virginia. How about coronary heart disease deaths? In 2021, West Virginia, first place, 134.9 per 100,000. I mean, first place in smoking, drinking, drugs, well, it makes sense. First place in watching TV, it makes sense that you're the number one state in dying of heart disease and cancer and these things. I mean, there are correlations that exist as a result of this. What does the Bible say about this? Well, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. The Bible speaks about the evil days that come upon you as you get older. And look, one of the saddest things, you know, being in my 30s is seeing relatives of mine that the evil days have really hit them. And you see people that are strong, they're very active, and then just out of nowhere, they just lose their health almost completely. It's a very sad thing to see, but it's part of life. You see that as your parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, they get older and they start to lose their health. Now, here's the thing, even if you're a lot younger than me and you're a child in this room, hey, in your youth, remember your creator. Because even being younger, you still see those evil days starting to come where you can't do what you used to do. Things are a lot more difficult. And take your life seriously. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the hand shake, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. People get older, and they often have to get a lot, go to the dentist a lot. The out of the windows, talking about your eyes, people lose their eyesight as they get older. These are side effects as you age. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the burden. All the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now look, the evil days are going to come upon all of us as we get older. But here's the thing, you can lengthen your good life here on earth by taking care of your body. Think about Caleb in the Bible. 85 years old, he's like, I'm as strong now as when I first started. I mean, Moses in the Bible, I mean, he's walking up mountains in his 80s. He's not a young guy, but he's still strong. And look, obviously the evil days come upon us all, and I'm not saying it's your fault if you lose your health. What I'm saying is I want to have a life on earth where I have my health and I can serve God. I have energy to play with my kids and my grandkids. That's what I want out of life. You say, what do? Take care of your body. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't do drugs. Take care of your body. Don't sit around for 4.5 hours a day watching television. And here's another side effect. Number one state in antidepressant medication, West Virginia. West Virginia. 16.4% of people. One out of six people in West Virginia is on antidepressant medication. Now look, I'm not trying to go too deep into the medical field. I know people have a lot of different opinions, but you cannot tell me that God designed that one out of six people would need antidepressants to get by in life. You cannot tell me that is God's intention. You say, Brother Suggy, why are people so depressed in West Virginia? Well, when you sit around watching TV for 4.5 hours a day, I mean, as a guy, if you don't work, you're going to be depressed. You're sitting around drinking, that gives you sorrow. You're sitting around doing drugs. Of course you're going to be depressed. 16.4% of people are on antidepressant medication, number one. Number two, Kentucky, 15.3%. There's our cousins in the South again. Hawaii was 50th at 3.4%. So five times as many people in West Virginia as Hawaii are on antidepressant medication. And look, it makes sense. If you're sitting around watching TV and smoking and drinking, you're going to be depressed. Now, I saw other polls, and this is a 2019 poll. Other polls where Utah was number one. I was like, that makes perfect sense, because if I was a Mormon, I'd be depressed too. Right? West Virginia also makes sense because of the fact, I mean, if you're sitting around doing nothing, you're going to be depressed. Another side effect, West Virginia has the lowest life expectancy of any state in the United States, which that should not be shocking based on them being number one in all these statistics, at 72.8. That's what I did in my secular job before I moved to Sacramento, California, basically worked on mortality rates and life expectancies. West Virginia is always at the bottom. They have the shortest lifespan. It's not the mountains that are causing you to get all this pollution or whatever. It's the lifestyle choices people are making in West Virginia. Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now look, I don't think that anybody that moved to West Virginia from another state is upset at their choice. I'm sure if you moved here to be a part of this church, you're glad. I believe this is a great place to live. It's a beautiful state. I mean, there's a lot to offer in West Virginia. I saw last night online they had a statistic, or they had the most beautiful places in the United States to visit. Number one on the list I saw was Harper's Ferry. I don't even think that's the most beautiful part of West Virginia. I think there's a lot of things that are even better, but West Virginia has a lot of beautiful places. I mean, honestly, to me, just driving through the mountains is a very pleasant drive, just seeing the fall colors. This state has a lot to offer. It is a beautiful state, but it is also a state that has a lot of problems that exist in the way people are living their lives. There is no question about that. Number one, wasting time. Number two, vices. Lastly, number three, uneducated. One of the major things of West Virginia, it is a very uneducated, very stupid state compared to other states. And here's the thing. I knew about a lot of these other things when I was a kid, but the one that always bugged me is the fact that West Virginia is uneducated. You say, why? Because when I would go to soccer tournaments and they hear you're from West Virginia, they immediately assume you're an idiot. Right? Isn't that true? They hear you're from West Virginia, it's like, oh man, did you marry your cousin? Ha ha ha. Right? These are the stereotypes of West Virginia. You know it's true. I mean, I've lived in a lot of different states, and they've had a lot of jokes about West Virginia. Hey, I heard this one about West Virginia. Then they realize, I don't find it funny after like the fifth time. And then they stop the jokes. But it is true, though. On average, West Virginia is a very uneducated state compared to other states. They did a study based on IQ scores, SAT scores, and ACT scores. And look, I'm not saying these scores are completely accurate to whether or not how intelligent you are. But as they went through the scores, the dumbest state was West Virginia, number one. Number two, Mississippi. Number three, Louisiana. Number four, Arkansas. West Virginia finished in first place. But here's the thing. It's not that they're naturally born in West Virginia dumber than other states, but if you sit around and watch TV for 4.5 hours a day, doesn't that make sense? Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't think watching whatever, Jerry Springer, is going to make you smarter. You sit around and watch TV all day, you're going to be stupid. You're going to be dumb. And look, of course, as Bible-believing Christians, number one, read the Word of God. But even outside of that, if you want to watch something, watch a documentary that you can actually learn from. There's a lot of amazing things. I mean, I was reading my Bible last night, and it talked about the deaf adder. I was like, I want to kind of study that out, you know, the deaf adder, you know, about them not having the ability to hear. And you can educate and learn about this world. But in West Virginia, it's like, well, just beer, smoking, drugs, and sit around watching TV. Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know what the thing is that is annoying about it is a lot of people take this as something they get prideful about. Well, we're not that smart in West Virginia. Well, I don't know much, but I know the gospel, bless God. I'm sorry, that's not a funny joke. And I've heard that joke from the pulpits in Baptist churches in West Virginia. And I'm thinking, it's not funny. I don't want to be linked with being stupid. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a guy named Daniel in the Bible that was a very educated person at a young age. I don't take glory in my shame. Why would you be happy? It's like, well, man, I don't know how to read. Isn't that awesome? Like what? That's like what the Muslims do with Muhammad. Man, he didn't even know how to read. It's like, why are you glorying in that? That's not something to take pride in that your prophet didn't know how to read. But in West Virginia, this does exist, where people take glory in the fact, well, I'm just a dumb redneck. That's not something to glory about. That's not something to be proud about. It's like, read, learn, get educated. But it is a cultural thing here in West Virginia. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Now look, don't get offended by what I preach because these things are true. I gave you real statistics. And look, if you, and maybe if you moved here to West Virginia, maybe you didn't know all these things, but if you grew up in West Virginia, you knew these things. And it wasn't something that you're exactly proud about. It's like, man, these stigmas and stereotypes about West Virginia, it's like all the Hollywood movies making fun of West Virginia. But these things, these stereotypes, they do exist for a reason. There are real problems in West Virginia. By the way, if you're trying to remember just kind of the organization of the sermon, Wasting Time, Vices, Uneducated, WVU, is the acronym that you can remember from the sermon. Wasting. That's why I didn't say laziness. Why do you say laziness? Why not? Why do you say wasting time? Why not laziness? Because I wanted the WVU acronym to remember. Wasting time, vices, uneducated. What's the solution? Well, notice what it says in Matthew chapter 28. What's the solution for West Virginia? And let me say this. Let me give you some things that are good about West Virginia. As I said, they are one of the lowest states on abortion rates, nearly number one. They're right down there in the bottom couple in the United States, and that's great. This state has one of the lower LGBT rates. That's great. This state is one of the most conservative states by voting now in the United States. And look, I'm not Republican or Democrat, but if you don't realize there's something wrong with Joe Biden, I think you walked into the wrong church this morning. But when I was a kid, this state voted Bill Clinton both elections. It was a very, you know, liberal state on things like abortion and stuff like that. And due to everything that happened with the coal industry and everything, it's like it kind of turned the state conservative, but that's a good thing. This state is low in abortion, low in LGBT, it's more conservative. Those things are good things. I'm not saying everything's bad about West Virginia, but there's this culture, and it often ties together with country music, where people that listen to country music, it's all about drinking. It's like they take glory in it. It's like, well, we'd never smoke weed, we just get drunk all the time. And it's like all this country music just glorifies this stuff, and it's a cultural thing here in West Virginia as well. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is known as the Great Commission. And part of the Great Commission is soul winning. Getting people saved. And look, any soul winning that we do here at this church, it's great. Yeah, soul winning marathon in, well, Akron or Cleveland last week. And I've got family in Martinsburg, West Virginia. So I'm excited to see. It's like, man, this church is doing soul winning marathons like everywhere. That's great. You can go to some of these places. I mean, in Martinsburg, where people really struggle with this. I mean, I was just talking to my sister. She lives in Martinsburg. We were talking about the drug epidemic. And she's like, yeah, it's a big problem in Martinsburg. And I'm happy that you can talk to people while they're sober, while they're not trashed, and you can get people saved. I mean, praise God for that. But what I want you to understand is getting saved does not fix all your problems. Did you know that a drunk that gets saved is still a drunk? Did you know that somebody who's lazy that gets saved is still lazy? Did you know that when somebody gets saved, they don't magically just quit watching television? No, they're still going to watch for hours and hours and hours. So here's the thing. It's not just getting people saved. You need to get them baptized. And you need to teach them to observe all things. And this is why you need a church like Mountain Baptist Church. Look, I don't take this as, man, it's so horrible living here, all the things that I've heard. You should take and say, hey, you know what? I want to help change the culture here. Amen. Look, when I visited the Philippines before we moved there, we had our missions trip, and there's a 12-hour difference between East Coast and Philippines time and 15 hours with Sacramento or California and Philippines. And so when we went over there, we're waking up at like 2 in the morning. Right, your sleep schedule's all over the place. And I remember I woke up at like 3:30 in the morning one day. I went downstairs, and there's other people at the mission trip just hanging out because we're wide awake. And I was like, you know what? I want to develop a burden for the Philippines. And so I just went out for a walk. Now, let me say this. Never go out for a walk in a big city in the Philippines at 3:30 in the morning. You say, why? Because what you're going to see is a million guys in dresses. Because the Philippines is one of the most perverse cultures in the world. It makes California look like nothing, and that's a fact. Guys are wearing dresses everywhere. But you know what? I didn't let that say, well, man, I'm not going to move here because there's all these cross-dressers. You know what I said? Well, obviously the Philippines needs the preaching of the Word of God to fix their problems. Amen. Look, God's got you here for a reason. And this is a great state to live in, but it's a state with a lot of problems. A state where people waste time. A state with a lot of vices. Anyway, a state with a lot of uneducated people, and they don't even really think anything about it because that's what they're used to. They grow up around people that, you know what, don't take their education seriously. They don't study. They just sit around and watch TV all day. And that is a big problem. You know what you need is a church like Mountain Baptist Church. And so look, take it upon yourself to say, you know what, I want to help change the culture, at least in this area. At least in our Jerusalem, let's change the culture and get people saved, and try to get them to come to church. And you know what you see? People completely change once they start coming to church. Look, as your pastor said, we've known each other for a very long time. Look, we were completely different people 20 years ago. I mean, if you met us back then, you'd be like, these guys became pastors? You say, why? Because everybody needs the preaching of God's word to change. Everybody needs to hear God's word. Look, at this church, you hear some of the greatest preaching in the world. Amen. 3 times a week. You got these soul-winning events to be a part of. You got a great church, a great church family, awesome people at Mountain Baptist Church. I'm not preaching this sermon to make you feel depressed or down or whatever. What I would say is use this as motivation to say, you know what? I want to help change the culture here in West Virginia. Let's close in a word of prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today, and just thank you for this great church and the great people at this church. God, I ask you to help this sermon be a blessing to people, help it motivate people to try to get people saved, but also bring them to church so they can hear the preaching of God's word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, if you would take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 150. Song 150 in your psalm books. We'll sing My Faith Is Found a Resting Place. If you would stand, we'll sing song 150.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this is my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other. Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
You are dismissed.